Previously on 1P D&D.
I got a cousin
down in Red Lodge. It's on the way to Waterdeep. We might be able to find some work there.
I'll help y'all.
Tomorrow we're gonna head west across the Stone Bridge. You're reaching the center of the arc when you spot the giant. He sits astride a gargantuan boar.
Can I try and lasso this boar's foot?
Gets pulled basically under from this giant who falls off.
I'm gonna try and go up to it and be like, hey, it's okay.
Make an animal handling check.
Snake eyes.
The boar lowers its tusks to gore you. Instinctively, you bring down a shield, the Raven Queen's spell, in front of all of the refugees.
I just need to know right now, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Now is not really the time.
You see a couple of figures, and they're wearing what appear to be stone masks.
Must be some locals.
As the early morning light crests over the hills behind you, you come down the larch path into what you can assume is the town of Red Larch. You start by going through farms and orchards on the outskirts of town before making your way into what is a small settlement. There is one clear main drag with street fronts lining toward it, a broad street or a highway. In this case, it's the Long Road, which is a very well-trafficked thoroughfare in the Sword Coast. But the streets that line it are all kind of identical, flat-sided. I don't know how much more I can describe a Wild West building without calling it a Wild West building, but they're Wild West buildings. No, that's the image I want you to have. Big, wide, dusty street with kind of matching little walkways in front of buildings. But you're coming in at an angle toward the main thoroughfare, and there's small little side streets and cramped alleys beside that. You can hear in the early morning, the sound of saws and woodworking. Looks to be coming from a triangle of sheds not far from you. And there's another road that bisects the town at about its halfway point. That's a much smaller road, but it leads out of town to the east and west. You have your train of refugees behind you. What do you do?
This is where they were trying to go, right?
This is where they were trying to go.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, you've done it. Quest complete.
Just checking in. I turned to them. I was like, is this where you were going?
Yeah, this is the town of Red Larch. They named it for a copse of Red Larch trees that they felled over to make the town hall. I forget if I'm the one who said who had a cousin here, but one of us has a relative here that is going to hopefully set us up with some work.
Everybody's got a cousin who could hook them up with something.
Everybody's got a cousin they can hook up with something.
It's a Lin-Manuel Miranda lyric. Well, I'm glad I was able to help you guys get here safe.
He, turns and faces the congregation. He goes, is anybody else hungry? Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I forgot. I'm the voices of everyone. and you were always hungry.
Myri's the only one who responds. Always.
Everybody else is too famished to make words. He goes, why don't we get ourselves situated at the inn? And, Myri, I think the least I could do is buy you breakfast.
Oh, I won't say no to some free eggs.
Well, I'd be guessing it's that one there. And he indicates the largest building in town. This is the...
I have the map open if you're going to refer to a number.
Yeah, it's number 2, but that's all you... All the numbers mean to you is the number. Ah, there it is. The largest structure in town, a 3-story building made of stone topped with a slate roof bristling with chimneys like a smoldering hedgehog. A signboard juts over the door hanging on chains. It's a 10-foot-long wooden scimitar with the inn's name emblazoned on both sides, the Swinging Sword.
Cool. I love that name. Oh my gods. So she walks up, she's like, they probably have breakfast, right?
One can assume, at the very least, they'll have rooms, and those chimneys are indication, warmth. It is pretty chilly, even though the season has been remarkably warm for this time of year. It is still chilly in the early morning air, frost glistening on the, what do you call them? Grasses? Sure.
Blades of grass.
Blades of grass. On the blades of grass as you make your way inside the Swinging Sword.
Is it funny that frost on plants is, fantasy to me?
Kind of, yes. Kind of
I've
very...
I've never lived in a place with weather. I tell people sometimes, I'm like, snow is a place I drove to as a kid. Like, it's not something I expect to happen every day for someone. That's insane to me. So we go inside this inn. I swing open the swinging sword.
Damn right you do. You can see a fairly bright, with the morning sun shining through the windows, and large, empty, great hall. The common room, I should say, is loaded with chairs. There aren't any fires going right now, but there's a bar across the end and a lot of tables, communal tables, where people could have drinks. You see a plump but sturdy looking woman polishing the bar and like kind of getting like last things in order to set them up, cleaning up from the night before and beginning for the day to come. She turns to you and looks and goes,
"Oh dear! Oh, it's so good to see customers. Great! Oh, God. Well, wonderful, wonderful! Come, come, please, come in, come in. I thought the last of the caravans had passed, but travelers, come in, rest your weary bones."
Hi. Yes. Hello.
That was a choice. That's how she has to sound now. Great.
You're Mrs. Doubtfire.
They always are.
But I love it.
Is she an innkeeper? She's Mrs. Doubtfire.
It's so nice. Hey. Yeah. Hi. We are looking to get some food and maybe some rooms.
Rooms I can provide, yes, but I'm afraid that the kitchen fires are a recurring problem here at...
What?
You see all the chimneys as you walked in. The ventilation system was more of a... afterthought than it was a plan. As the town has expanded over the years, the inn has grown to accommodate them, but we Ericles we're more at the business end of things than we are the architectural side of things. So we have a poor ventilation, the flues get clogged, and fires will start. The tavern, I can pour you a fine drink. Don't get me wrong, I can absolutely get you some ale, but if you're looking for a warm meal, we normally will barbecue and grill out in the yard, but with the onset of winter, we packed that away. Hopefully, winter onset soon. If you were looking to get a meal, you could go across the way to the Helmet High Sun. Or, of course, we're renowned for our poultry here. You've got Drewthorn Mandivers.
Drewthorn Mandivers?
Drewth's Fine Poultry or Mandivers Chicken. Yes, those are the two in town, but... careful who you tell you where you're going where. Literally fighting words if you pick the wrong one for some folk.
You folks have competing chicken places?
Sure, it's like a Gino's and Pat's in Philadelphia. There are steakhouses in South Philadelphia.
Got it.
It's two competing businesses. And I'm going to make you pick a goddamn side, Lee.
This is... I choose no side.
You can't Grey Jedi your way through chicken.
No, I'm trying to witcher my way out of choosing a chicken place. In the end, one of these chicken places is going to blow up.
With its business, yeah.
Okay, her tummy, Myri's stomach, like, makes a noise because it was promised food now, and now it has to walk across the street somewhere. It's very upset.
But across the street, what is this, the Dark Ages?
I play my truth. And, and so she turns and... says, "I guess you folks can get set up here. If you still want to eat, we can go together across the street."
"We don't all need to go. I'll take care of the rooms. And I've forgotten your actual name, but Hot Dog, why don't you go with Mara there? Bring back enough chicken to feed the folk. I want to get the women folk and the children situated at the very least."
Yeah, exactly.
"I'll do it, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Corbin, sir."
We go outside, and I look at these two chicken houses, both alike in dignity.
In fair red larch, where we lay our scene. From forth the fatal eggs of these two foes.
Yeah, there it is! My two choices of chicken are what? And what do they look like on the outside? Will you describe a storefront of two opposing chicken houses?
They are literally across the street from each other. I don't think they are on your maps, but they definitely are now. Let's see. First, we have... Drewth's.
Wait, this chicken story is canon?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you made this!
So here's where we're at, is that basically this town has, like, 17 or so businesses that you can frequent and get to know. Like, they, you know, built a real-ass town.
Right.
But the fact that this town has two competing chicken shops, somebody on Reddit was like, "Do we really need two chicken stores?" And I was like, absolutely, that's the thing that we bring in. This is going to be, like,
God,
what I center this campaign
bless
around.
You, Trevor. This is the big bad.
This is the big bad. Is like, well, capitalism is the big bad. But in this particular instance, you have to choose which small business you're going to invest in.
True enemy.
So on the one side of the street, you have Druth's Fine Poultry. It is a tidy establishment. It looks like it's been recently painted. It's got a second story, and it has a like sandwich board outside in the shape. Like, the center of it is slate for writing on with chalk, but the actual shape is like a wooden chicken. And it says, the breast in town. And you can see it, the name ornately painted over the top. Double entry doors wide enough to fit a wagon inside. That says, Druth's Fine Poultry. Across the street... Yeah, so number 16 on your map, I'm going to make Mandivers, because it only makes sense to have them across the street. Is a wooden building that appears to have grown haphazardly for many years. It's shooting out in single-story additions. It looks like it was originally one tiny barn, and then just, like, annexes have been tacked on. You can see, like, nails sticking out. The colors of the wood are unfinished and tacked together, kind of all over the place. And, like, you can see chicken feathers, like, stuck to various corners of it. Painted on the door in broad childlike strokes is Mandivers.
Oh man. Oh my gods. Myra's a city girl and she knows the best food trucks are the grossest food trucks.
Yeah. So... Fucking always bet on black. I knew you would.
Look at me. So she looks at both of them critically and her stomach makes another noise because it's kind of mad that she's being critical. She goes, Hot Dog, how do you feel about adventures?
I'm all for them.
Let's go. And they walk towards Mandivers.
You push open the door, not without effort, to this dark room filled with a... of chickens in cages that appear to have been put in every available square foot. There's some high on shelves, tucked under rafters. There's one under a desk. There's just a bunch of them kind of stacked up of these, like, clucking hens. In the one kind of like main counter area, the service area, you see a giant rotisserie with a crank that's kind of hooked up to this like little gear system. So it's constantly rotating. And there's a little narrow alley between cages that when you open the door, this little bell ding, 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 opens and you see this woman kind of like pulling feathers out of her hair, shuffling toward you wearing an apron. She's like, a customer. Oh, come in, dearie. Come in, come in.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Minnie Mandiva, please. What can I get for you? We've got capons pickled. We've got chicken livers. I've got feet. I've got beaks. I've got breasts. I've got thighs.
First of all, it's kind of messed up that all these live chickens have to look at this rotisserie.
It is.
Second
but,
of all,
know, that's...
Mari, like, is kind of shocked that everything is just, like, loose and in here. There's just feathers and sounds everywhere. She goes and she says, oh, we just wanted some breakfast, lunch, yeah.
Oh, sure, we can provide you with that, no problem. I would recommend for any of our first-timers a simple garlic and lemon rubbed rotisserie chicken. One for the two of you, maybe a picnic basket we can get together. You look like a lovely couple, by the way.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh,
no,
we're not.
Absolutely
we
not.
We would never.
Never.
No, she's
no,
like my mom.
You. Yeah, I'm his mom. Wait, what?
What?
Anyway,
Alrighty, it's none of my business there. I just get so excited to see new faces in town. We thought the last of the caravans had gone for the winter.
So I heard. But no, these folks ran into some bad luck, and we sort of had a surprise pilgrimage.
Our farm burned down.
That.
Oh, that's awfully terrible. There's all kinds of dark dealings going on in the hills around here these days.
Dark dealings in the hills?
I don't like to get more mixed up in black magics, but, you know, and she, like, makes a sign.
Myri's eyebrows peak in interest. She's like, black magic?
People go missing in the hills all the time. Nobody goes hare hunting or berry picking around here anymore. I tell you, it's the changing of the times. Things used to be so simple. But now, everywhere you go, you find people afraid. All the workers are on strike in the quarry because of men with masks. It's been particularly bad these past six rides. That's when kids started going off into the hills to dance under the moon like mad cows. I'm lucky that my granddaughter Pell doesn't.
Wait, what about these men in masks?
Oh, lots of workers came back from the quarry saying they refused to do their work because they were men in masks staring at them. Now, every time the foreman goes out there, of course, no men in masks to be found, but the story's been corroborated by at least a dozen workers.
Well, we want to get enough chicken to feed, like, what, 30 people? Hot dog?
There are 15 of, yes, 30 people, he says, his stomach also grumbling.
15 people. Enough chickens for 15 people. And us too.
Yeah, maybe everybody gets a chicken. I don't know. That baby looks really hungry.
That baby is not going to eat chicken. Hot dog, do you understand how... Oh, well, farm life. It's fine.
He's like got a pinky halfway through his ear right now, just like digging around.
He's digging his pinky in one side of his ear and it's coming out the other for a second. And then Myrie like shakes her head. It's like one little bit of the other.
One little like residual madness.
She shakes it off. Goes back to just...
Like an acid flashback. He, like, pushes out and, like, feathers puff out the other side.
So, yeah, we asked for chickens from this lady.
Oh, sure, dearie. All right, let's see. 15 chickens? I'll cut you a deal. How about we do that for 10 gold pieces?
Sure.
You keep track of your money? Because I haven't been.
I am. Great. So we take our chickens.
She packs up crates full of chickens just then. A young girl comes running through the door, and she says, oh, how will she sound? God. Grandma Minnie! Grandma Minnie! What is it, Pell? My God, you frightened me, Hatteth. We've got customers here, you see. Grandma Minnie, the chicken shipment was attacked. What are you talking about there, dear? The latest shipment to Tribor, it was attacked on the road. Folks in weird rock armor lay waste to the caravan. They took all the chickens. I ran back as fast as I could.
I told you the roads was getting fierce. She starts wringing her hands.
Wait,
she then looks
at
me.
How old is this girl?
This girl, she's 12, 13 maybe.
You were attacked on the road?
The caravan was. I was only along to learn the tricks of the trade. I came running just as soon as I could. I hardly had time to hitch up my horse and before I came in to let Grandma Minnie know.
Oh, man.
She looks and eyes you over. She goes, that sword.
I have two swords.
Wait, is Talon out?
Yeah, I think I had it in my waist.
Oh,
so I wouldn't have
right,
to summon
because
it.
You can't. Just right.
Those swords. Are you an adventuring type?
Her stomach grumbles again. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a capon on the house if you go and investigate this for me, and if you find out what happened to our caravan and bring it back, I'll give you free chicken for life. Or for a year.
I wish you were still doing cartoons. Now I'm just thinking cartoon stuff. Her eyes turn into chickens, but like money sign chickens.
Like chickens with money signs on them?
No.
Chickens
in
the shape
of
money
signs.
Great.
What do you say, dearie? You investigate free chickens for a month? One chicken now, free chickens for a month? Or for a ride? That's what
yeah,
we call months?
So. All right, why not?
We appreciate that very much. We certainly do. They're right north on the long road. I'll mark it on your map.
Can you pack me up some chicken to go right now?
Oh, she's like already like tying a little picnic basket with like a vase of flowers in it and like a baguette.
Leave the baguette, keep the flowers.
Was that a Godfather reference?
No. Is that a thing?
Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Incredible. I think I am slowly going to accidentally quote every movie, and then you're just going to be like, is that this? And I'm like, no, I made it up. Okay. Sick. So yeah, I guess I'm going to go investigate some chicken stealers.
Hell yeah, you are.
This is so Fable too. I love it.
Myrie, I'm going to take these chickens back to everybody at the inn.
All right, hot dog, you go ahead and do that.
I will. Unless, of course, you need an extra hand, sir.
Is Hot Dog a teen, or is he grown up?
He's a teen.
No, he should stay. No, you go ahead and stay.
Okay.
You gotta watch after the folks that stay here.
Yeah, you're right. And I gotta whip those other two nuggets into shape.
Yeah, please don't practice in town. If you practice anything, go a little bit out of town so you don't hit anybody.
Yes, sir.
She gives him a two-fingered... very loose salute. And I think he clips off a very, like, staunch, real salute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then I'll start going on the road. And I make a little baguette chicken sandwich. And I go, fried chicken sandwiches. This could be good.
Mm-hmm. If we were to pickle some onions.
No, I take a cucumber, I put it in brine. And then I cover it in some sort of spice, like some sort of a Luskin pepper, you know? I literally looked at my character sheet to find it because I was like, what am I again?
Luskin. Who am I from? Yeah. You know how the Irish are renowned for their spices?
Yeah. The pirate guy was from Luskin too, so there must be some cool. That guy was spicy as heck.
He was spicy as heck, but he was actually from the Underdark. He just represents Illusk now. Because he was a drow in disguise. But Zardazod, he has spices for everyone.
Yeah, he does.
He's quite hot.
Cool, I follow the road.
I'm cool, you don't want to do anything else in town first?
Do I need anything, actually?
No pressure either way.
CCC. Actually, can I get one of those? And she points to the wall, and there's, like, a bunch of handkerchiefs. And one of them's, like, a red bandana.
I see what you're doing. That was on the, like, southern end of town. You got, like, that was at the start of kind of this main drag. So you've got all of these buildings lining the streets like little soldiers waiting to escort you on the way north. Like, if you ever see, like, guards with their, like, spears crossed over one another for a promenade for royalty. But buildings.
Cute. All right, let's just go north.
Grand. As you travel north on the long...
Oh, she ties the bandana around her little neck.
Okay, there you go.
And then she's got her Stetson, and she'd taken it off to go inside. She puts it on and, like, looks up from under the brim and goes, "That's right."
Hell yeah.
Am I right? I mean, walk and...
God damn it.
I got you so hard.
I loved it. You head north on the long road into the hills. You're walking for some time when I want you to make a perception or an investigation check. We're playing D&D, baby.
Oh, man. This sucks.
What, playing the game that we're playing?
By the way, I found out rolling a double one on advantage is a 1 in 400 chance.
Yeah, you should be dead at the bottom of a river.
Why did I say that? I rolled a 1.
Here we go.
I got to throw out these die.
You're wandering these hills for the better part of the day. Early morning turns to noon, midday turns to afternoon. And as you're wandering around here, eventually you hear a voice call out to you, say, "Are you lost?"
She turns around eating the last bite of this whole baguette that she's eaten because she's been out for so long.
You see Quoth sitting on a tree branch nearby.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I've been following you for some time.
Did you see any chicken thieves?
Can't say as I did, but then I'm not exactly looking for chicken thieves. I've got more important matters to deal with.
Are you a real bird? She suddenly ponders for real.
If I was, I wouldn't have to preen so much. He adjusts his glasses ever so slightly.
With his little claw?
With his little wing.
Or with his wing? Oh, I love him. Have you seen any shady characters that are trying to kill people? I feel like killing is more in your line, right?
That's our business. And it's not my line, it's our line. Don't forget who we work for.
Right. Yes.
She sent me here because there's something amiss in these hills. I thought it was just you wandering around, but he, like, flutters down and, like, kind of lands on your shoulder. It's not just the overseeing the crossing between life and death that our mistress is sovereign to. She collects sorrow. If she's got me and you working in this no-horse town, I have a feeling something pretty bad's gonna happen. Unless you prevent it. I could get in trouble if she finds out about this. Large-scale devastation, these are things to be avoided. She'd just as happily collect all the sorrow of the survivors, but maybe, if you're inclined, we can prevent the worser damage.
The less mass murders and damage, the better, right? It's not like she needs souls that aren't ready to be sold. Like, sold as in S-O-U-L-E-D, you know.
Not like you were.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're probably right there. I haven't seen any murderers about, but there's some vultures over yonder.
She looks up, she goes, "Duh, always follow the birds. First rule of Waterdeep."
And he looks down at you and he goes, "That's a good rule. I'll be watching." And he flies off.
Thanks. Oh, I feel like an idiot yelling at a bird. Anyway, she like starts walking again towards the vultures.
Yeah, as you trek along the path, you spy, by the path I mean like into the hills. You're kind of off the road now. As you trek along, though, you spy vultures circling. On a barren hilltop a few miles from Red Larch, you find these vultures circling over what it just appears to be a bare hill. Make an investigation check.
Beautiful. 18.
You see freshly dug shallow graves. The earth scraped for the holes is piled nearby, and hastily gathered stones cover the graves themselves. The faint smell of death hangs in the air, and the area is littered with chicken feathers blowing about and caught on scrubs.
Myri, picks up a feather and, twirls it. She can smell the, horrible stench of death, and she sees the graves. Are there any footprints or anything anywhere leading away?
You can see a confused collection of tracks. As you're looking around them, you also see a tattered gray cloak and a few broken arrows. The cloak appears to have this kind of feathered motif to it. As you search, the tracks leading away suddenly vanish. As you're searching, you recognize that you have a decent view of the surrounding hills from this vantage. Mm-hmm. And several miles to the west, to the southwest, you can make out the tiny outline of Red Larch. And several miles to the east, you can see a slender old tower circled by large birds. Whoever or whatever inhabits it would have been able to see any attack that would have happened on your hilltop.
Is there anything in the cloak besides its feather motif?
No, it's just kind of torn. Actually, it looks like it was pierced in several places.
Oh, sad. She's going to take the cloak and put it in her bag for evidence. Mm-hmm. And head towards this tower.
Okay.
But as she approaches, she's going to be sneaky.
Roll stealth.
24.
Okay. Damn, that's really good.
I am the trees.
You make your way through the hills fairly easily to this spire. It rises from a pillar of rock high into the air, the tallest point for miles. Built from white limestone and embellished in marble, the spire resembles a gleaming sword that pierces the sky. The gatehouse faces opposite the cliff on which you stand, its drawbridge the only apparent point of entry, and it's currently up. Tall, wide windows encompass the bottom level of the tower, absent only on the gatehouse side. A circle of open stalls rings the tower's foundation where it meets the rock. Above each stall, the sculpture of a hippogriff in flight leaps from the tower's base. Beneath the spire to the east, a wide, gusty canyon yawns through the hills. A gap of 20 feet separates the ledge where the path ends from the closed drawbridge. The space between the cliff's edge and the gatehouse drops several hundred feet to the bottom of the canyon below. Near the ledge, a brass bell hangs from a wooden post.
Oh, I forgot to ask.
Hmm.
How good was the chicken I ate? Does it feel like it was better than the other chicken?
Make an insight check. Oh, you look so not happy.
3.
No way to tell. I guess you got to sample the other one to be able to compare. Nuts. It was good. Don't get me wrong. It was good. Pickled chicken wasn't something that you would ever thought to have dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it actually was as good as the rotisserie.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so you polished off a whole rotisserie chicken, a cask of oil chicken, and a baguette.
I actually love the idea of pickled chicken. I'll take anything pickled. Who am I kidding?
I just got really hungry.
Sorry.
And I'm not doing chicken anymore.
I know, you need to come to LA, because the cool thing about vegan chicken is nobody cares about what the chicken part tastes like. They just make the fried part incredible.
Nice.
So it's just incredibly fried, whatever it tastes like. Who cares?
Sure. It's breaded, spiced, whoever.
Oh, it's so good.
Whatever, I mean, not whoever. I'm not a cannibal.
If it's consensual, man. Technically, vegans eat consensual beings. Anyway, that's why there is a breast milk milkshake at this bougie vegan spot in town.
Nope. Hard no. Hard solid no. I was already against milk. Before I even cut the rest of this off, I was milk's too weird.
Great.
Milk's a weird thing.
I loved milk. Pretty big.
This is actually a case where I'm actively trying to yuck somebody's yum. If, breast milk is your thing, Robin, but, you got to push yourself out the moon door on this one.
Push yourself. Dude, push yourself out the moon door is, the harshest criticism I've ever heard anyone say. That's my new thing. How was your date? Honestly, if I could have pushed myself out the moon door, I would have.
Oh, God, push me out the moon door with this fucking election news right now.
What am I talking about? Oh, do I ring-a-ling-ding this bell?
That's a question for you, not for me.
Can I see anyone in the windows or anything?
Make a perception check.
Okay. 16.
No, you can see there are two giant birds circling way high in the air.
What kind?
From this distance, you can't tell.
Dang.
And you see arrow slits in this gatehouse, but you can't see the glint off anybody's eyes or anything.
Okay, I'm just excited because no one's around me, so I can use magic right now, but I don't think I need to use any magic. Yeah, okay. I'll ring the bell.
Okay. Do I roll for it? How, if you're not using magic, do you throw a rock?
Oh, I thought it was on the side
No,
I'm on.
It's next to... Oh, maybe it is. Near the ledge. I read that as near the ledge, like near the tower. I thought this was a fun little puzzle for you to solve.
I mean, I can. I have a bow.
Yeah, the bell's far away.
Sick.
I'm not just going to give you a bell to ring. Will you nill you?
No one's watching me, or I can't know. Or I don't know, I should say.
You don't know.
Oh, man, I really want
You can't know because you don't know.
I really want to flick it with my mage hand, but I will instead be normal. And I knock an arrow and I shoot it at the bell.
Make an attack roll.
22.
It's only 20 feet away, but you, with ease, ping, ding, 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 ding. The arrow clatters off and falls into the cavern far below. You hear a voice go, what was the thing I was supposed to say? Oh, yeah. Halt, who goes there?
Does he say that first part out loud, or was that Trevor?
No, that was that he says that first part out loud.
Oh, I love it. Just, traveler, I lost my way and was looking for directions.
Oh, well, you came a long way out of the way to be lost at... Hold on a minute. Lady Myrie?
Maybe. Who can I say is calling?
It's me. It's Eric.
Eric?
Yeah. From Waterdeep.
Eric from Waterdeep. Oh my god, Eric!
You jumped off a building on me.
Oh my god.
It was my birthday.
It was your birthday. Oh my god. Oh my god. How are you?
I'm great. Oh, here, let's stop yelling across the chasm. Here,
yeah.
One sec. And he like disappears from view, and then the drawbridge lowers down. And yeah, you see Eric standing there. He's in this... He's wearing a gray cloak with like feathers on the shoulders and this kind of white armor embossed with feathers. But and he holds a big old spear, and he runs up to you and he goes,
"Oh, it's so good to see you, Lady Rojnar. Lady Neverember sent us out here. We thought we weren't going to see anyone from Waterdeep for ages."
It's so good to see you. Wait, is she like? Clocks his uniform, and she goes, "What is this uniform for?"
"Oh, this is the Feathergale Spire. Yeah, it's nice, right? The Feathergale Society. The tower is the spire. I'm in the society. Yeah, we're a group of like-minded Waterdavians living out here in the Styx."
"Wait, really?"
"It's like a pretty exclusive club. But hey, I think you know someone on the inside." "You know that we hunt and we hawk and patrol the area."
Eric, I have bad news.
"Oh no!
Did you see anything that happened over west of here?"
"Oh yeah, over there.
Yeah.
Just earlier today there was an attack. There was a cart or something being taken, and these I don't know who they were, but these brigands tried to take it, and so Commander Maruska sent a couple of knights over there to try and protect them."
"Do you know what happened to the wagon and the people with the chickens?"
"I didn't see them. I was here guarding the tower."
"Right. I grabbed this from the scene. Do you want it?" And she, like, hands him the cloak.
"Oh, this is one of ours. That's, we hold on to it for new members. I've got an idea. I don't suppose you want to have it."
"I
just think... I mean, it's a club for it's basically just a club for nobles to get together and talk about how great Waterdeep is, even though they're not there. I say if Waterdeep's so great, why don't we go back? But Lady Neverember wants us to be out here until the mission's complete."
Myra's face falls for the second time. "So what is complete?"
he like looks around. He's like, Lord Neverember is out here on official Harper business, and so we're supposed to blend in and keep an eye on things.
Which Lord Neverember?
Well, Lord Renair.
Oh, okay, cool. Great.
Yeah, you remember him. Red-headed guy, handsome fellow.
Oh, I think yeah.
You went down into that vault together.
Right. That Renair Neverember. Oh, see, I can't even say his name. Don't even remember him at all. Anyway.
That's weird, because his name is Neverember, and all you always remember it is Never Forget to Remember Lord Neverember. But I keep calling her Lady Rajnar, you know, old habits. We missed you at the wedding.
Habits. Yeah, I couldn't make it. Definitely was invited. Just couldn't do it. Wait, have you seen Thanriel recently?
Not since we left Waterdeep.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, we stopped and got some avocado toast on our way out of town. And, Dusty Squab was hustling and a-bustling.
Good. I miss Le. Okay, where's Rhett?
I'm actually not supposed to say.
I mean, Eric, it's me.
Make a persuasion check.
23.
But since it's you. The Harper sent him here to investigate some strange druidic cult that's been going up on the hills.
Interesting. Is that what the masks are? The people in masks?
I don't know about the people in masks. What are the people in masks? Is there a ball?
No. Bad masks. Creepy people standing at the edge of ravines in masks, like staring at travelers.
Horror play.
C. C is yes in Elvish. C. Anyway. They're just like creeping on travelers. I was wondering if you heard anything. And I have another question.
Yeah.
I heard that the people that attacked the wagoners were in strange stone armor. Does that mean anything to you?
Strange stone armor. It doesn't mean anything to me, but it might to Commander Morosco. Would you like to ask him?
Is he here?
Yeah. He's up top.
Oh. She like looks up.
You look up. Yeah. And like, it's like the Washington Monument. You can't see the top from where you are.
Do you have an elevator?
We've got a staircase.
Oh. The chicken is like swimming inside of her stomach. So much chicken.
They're flightless birds.
They can fly.
They can like hover.
I'm sorry, but I don't think they're considered flightless birds. Chickens? That would be like absolutely. A penguin. I'm Googling it. I gotta know. I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
Well, I'll happily welcome the opportunity to be so for the first time in my life.
They're so close to being completely flightless that you don't necessarily have to put a roof. So
they're right. Nearly flightless.
Nearly flightless? How can you be nearly flightless?
And we've made them so heavy that they can't.
Yeah, that's probably more it.
We inflated their meat parts.
At one point. I wonder if there are wild chickens somewhere.
We have wild turkey up here.
I know, because I've been to SAC with Megan before, and there were turkeys in the trees. And I was like, this is just your normal? I love this. This is amazing.
It's so
I couldn't
funny
believe it.
Like the fact that you think deer are like special is so silly.
I went for a run around the Hollywood Reservoir and I saw a deer. He was just hanging there really close.
That's what they do, dude. They're just dumb giant squirrels that can't climb.
But they're so beautiful.
They're fine.
See, what's funny to me is you think of deer the way that I think of giraffes. People think of giraffes as majestic and beautiful, and I think of them as dumb squirrels who can't climb. Okay, role play. She looks up at the stairs. She looks at her non-existent watch, and, did he go to clear out the chicken rebels?
No, not him. That's a good name for a band, Mari. You should write that down.
Oh, I would love to play an instrument. I have a great singing voice. She doesn't.
Actually, me and my friends play guitar.
You play guitar?
Well, I play drums.
Not like lute?
I play drums. Oh, yeah, wait, lute. Sorry, I forgot what year it was.
So like some Gibson Les Paul.
Actually, no, my friends and I, we're from a band. We formed a band on the way here from Waterdeep.
Oh, my God. I get it now. Incredible. You play the drums.
I play the drums.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I would definitely be interested to hear a couple of your albums. Well, maybe not the later stuff, but probably the middle and early stuff I'd really like.
Well, we're going to be playing tonight. There's going to be a feast.
A feast where?
Here, at the tower. It's the, you're actually really lucky that you're here. This is the 10th anniversary of the formation of the Feathergale Society.
Interesting. Is Ren going to be there?
I don't know. He hasn't really been using this as a base of operations. You know, he's trying to blend in. He was actually, he went to Red Larch, is where he set up.
He's in Red Larch? He's in Red Larch?
Yeah.
Well, All right, let's do these stairs.
I love that the biggest obstacle for you in this particular mission is that you don't want to fantasy climb stairs.
I live in an apartment with 70 stairs up to it. I walk 70 stairs every time I have to go into my home or out of my home. I understand the severity of a tower that I can't see the top of and the stairs that would mean. I'm going to gain 2 levels of exhaustion just from these stairs.
I lived in a 4th floor walk-up, and every day getting home, if my ex and I were together, we would stand at the bottom of the stairs and psych each other up in order to do it.
Oh my god. Yeah. My joke is my legs look incredible now. It's so
that
good.
Was the biggest psych. Good butts, good butts, good butts. Good. That's how you get those good butts, is climbing stairs.
That's me. I got them.
He leads you through these double doors. The entrance is a 30-foot-long hall of white stone. At the opposite end of the hall are 2 12-foot-tall doors like those of the entry gate. And hanging from the ceiling is an eagle carved from massive timber. Suspended on strong chains, its slender wings of steel swoop close to its side. Its head is also fashioned of steel with a giant curved beak.
Hanging out in here. This is incredible.
You didn't want you didn't ask to come in. Yeah, no, this is the entrance. That's the eagle.
Eric, what a come up for you. This is great.
It's great. It was a temporary position, though don't tell Commander Maruska that. He thinks I'm here for life. But, you know, we're only here to keep an eye on Lord Neverember.
Got it. Right. Because you work for the Viper.
Lady Neverember. We don't like to talk about secret identities and double indemnities.
Let's go meet the commander, shall we?
Let's do it. Up we go. And he leads you through these double doors at the other end.
Wait, before we go, he goes, it's actually better if we suck each other up.
Yeah, you have to suck each other up. Good butts, good butts, good butts, good butts, good butts. All right, let's do this. Charge, explode up those stairs. Oh, God.
Well, hello there, everybody, and thank you for listening to episode 36 of 1P D&D, with Beverly Jean as Myrie Stone Daughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did the music, and this part of the arc was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast story, Princes of the Apocalypse. You're going to hear some differences, I think, in the next couple episodes between the way the book goes and the way I'm doing it. I didn't want to subject you to 4 dungeon crawls one after another, so I reorganized some things and hopefully made it a little bit more narrative-driven, which is one of the nice things about these books. Even though they're all the same module, you can really make it your own. So if you know somebody who's not listening to this podcast because they're worried about spoilers, just tell them to come on in anyway. It'll be fine. It's always a different game. That's the beauty of the D&Ds. But please do tell your friends. This is the part of the podcast where I do that. We don't have any advertisers. So I'm really counting on y'all to spread the word, to give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know this. But it's only as cool as our community. And so the larger the community is, the easier the revolution will be for us, because we got the dork numbers. You can interact with us on social media. At 1PD&D is the Instagram, and hashtag 1PD&D is how to connect on Twitter. That's 1 like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. You can use that to communicate with us directly. We don't use bots. It's real-ass people you're talking to. The next episode is going to be up next Wednesday, the 29th. We'll see you then.
And you're climbing the staircase, and you get to the second, like, the landing in the middle part, and you see 2 more knights standing there. One of them goes, "Oh, what are you doing there, Eric? You've got a newcomer."
Hi, yeah, I was just investigating the attack that happened out, and just was...
Don't we know you? Yes, you're Lord Neverember's friend.
Myrie's fine.
Myrie, that's right. Myrie, it's so good to see you, Myrie. I didn't expect to see anybody from Waterdeep this far out here.
Good to see you guys, too. Did you all come down here together?
I already told her about the thing with the Lord You-Know-Who.
Well, Eric, if you're just going to blow our cover to everybody who comes up, I don't see why we have you guarding the front gate.
Yes, Eric, you've got to be more cautious about our secret indemnities. Well, I was doing my best, but we know her. She already knows who we are. It seemed weird to lie to her and tell her that we just came out here because we wanted to hunt and hawk.
But we do want a hunting hawk.
Are you guys in the band too?
Yes. So I play the lute. And I also play the lute. Sometimes I play the lute and I only play the bass notes.
Which of you writes the songs?
We both write songs.
Beautiful.
Sometimes Neil writes songs as well.
And you see there's another knight there and he just like stands there crying over a lute.
Okay, well, I gotta talk to the commander. It's good to see y'all.
It's good to see you too. Are you staying for the feast?
Yes, you've got to stay for the feast.
Oh, I don't know, guys.
Oh, come on.
All right, twist my arm. I love food.
All right, we're gonna take it to meet Commander Maruska.
We'll see you at the feast, Myri. Oh, and don't forget, Eric, we've got to practice.
Okay.
Okay, he leads you up more stairs.
Halfway up, he goes, wait, don't forget about the good butts. You
right.
got this.
Right. Good butts. Good butts.
Good butts. Good butts.
Good butts. Good butts.
Good butts. They all four of us, there's four of us, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and Neil.
Yeah.
Link arms and like jump in a circle doing it. And Myri is just like over this. She hates this. And she's just, her face is falling. She's just like, good butts. Good butts.
Burp. Good butts.
Pickled chicken burp.
You burp and a little feather like flies out.
But it's magic. She whips it away.
You climb to the top of this tower.
Actually, make a constitution check for me. This is fun.
Good, good. 17.
Yeah, you're fine. The glutes are getting toned. Your Ooh. IT bands are feeling taut. That's a thing that happens, right?
I only know Quidditch injuries.
You can injure your IT band playing Quidditch.
I can tell you where an Achilles tendon is. That's it.
Oh, so can I, because I have a terrible fear of my Achilles tendons being slit. They snap up like a Venetian blind.
No, I get it, dude. I know what happens. Oh, my God.
At the apex of the tower... I'm going to give you some time to recover. At the apex of the tower, the stairs terminate at a round stone gazebo that continues upward in a needle-like minaret. Beyond this enclosure, a small lawn grows upon the top of the tower, like high-rises that you see in cities. They've got, like, four paths paved with white stones point the directions of the compass, each path ending in a pointed stoned crenellation. At the pinnacle's edge is a spyglass on a tripod pointed downward. From this vantage point, the Feathergale Knights possess a supreme view of all that transpires in the nearby canyon and the somber hills beyond. Two knights fly back past you on what you can see is a giant vulture. There's two knights riding them. These are the birds that you saw patrolling the top of the tower. One kind of, you know, buzzes you as you come across the top, and the wind blows off, and your hat almost flies off, and then you kind of catch it and keep it on. And you can see standing in front of the spyglass a tall man facing away from you.
He's at the spyglass.
Yeah, he's, like, in the spyglass, like, looking around in the canyon.
Cool. Whoa! Oh, my... Oh! Hello, sir! I'm...
Lord Maruska!
Myri Stone, daughter.
Lord Maruska, this is... Myri... Stone, I'm sorry I couldn't make... I usually stay on the ground.
Right. These stairs are real killer. You guys must get a lot of exercise. I guess maybe you just fly up here. It must be nice.
He turns to face you, the commander of the Feathergale Knights. He is a well-built male human in his early 50s. He is a very distinguished kind of... George Clooney. He is George Clooney. Embossed feather patterns ornament the plates of his armor, and his kingly cloak boasts a feathered mantle. He smooths his white blonde hair into place, then bows low before you as if he were only a lowly courtier.
Welcome to Feathergale Spire, retreat of the Feathergale Society. I am Thurston Maruska, the Lord Commander.
She bows back. Pleased to meet you, Myri Stone Daughter.
Eric, you may leave us.
Yes, sir. Oh, going down is always so much harder than going up on your knees, anyway.
And he mutters to himself as he leaves. He goes,
what can I do for you, my dear?
I was investigating the attack that happened on the chicken caravan that was going north.
Oh, yes, no job. Unfortunately, we lost a good night trying to protect those folks from the caravan, but... Some of our most hated enemies, monks of the Sacred Stone Monastery, took the cavern and buried, if you can believe it, one of our knights, poor Keith.
Buried him?
Buried him, under stone, never to feel the wind across his face again.
Like a grave or like alive?
He was killed and buried. I wanted to dispatch some knights to unearth him, but... I've been so busy preparing for the feast this evening, it's got to wait until tomorrow morning.
What is the Secret Stone Monastery? I'm not familiar with this part of the world.
Well, their beliefs go counterintuitive to everything I stand for. Dirty, ground-sifting gravelers. I wouldn't worry too much about them. They spend all their time digging around in holes under the ground.
Digging up holes?
Tunnelers and miners. These low-born activities, if you ask me. No, give me the open air and a good falcon any day.
Oh, I love falcons. So they're the ones in the strange stone armor?
Oh, have you had the terrible misfortune of encountering them? They tend to stick to their monastery, but every now and then they venture out and cause all sorts of trouble. I'm terribly sorry if we weren't able to intervene.
You saved the chicken folk.
No, we weren't able to, unfortunately.
Wait, what?
No, the cart was burrowed before we could get to it, swallowed up by the earth and taken Yon Sibin knows where.
Oh, no. So it was swallowed by the earth? Is it some sort of magic that the monks have?
Between you, me, and the pigeons.
Raptors.
Raptors, yes. Between you, me, and the raptors, and the rafters. The raptors and the raptors and the rafters. Oh, between you, me, and the raptors and the rafters, I think it is. Foul dealings. You're telling me that you haven't had any dealings with any mysterious magics of late?
No. I mean, creatures. I've run into trolls and giants. They seem to be coming out of their normal habitats.
Well, you've had quite the adventure.
I mean,
I don't suppose I could entreat you to stay and regale my knights with tales of your bravery and heroism over a feast this evening. It would make quite the entertainment. So far, all we've got lined up is an amateur band.
Oh, I hear they're very good. I mean, no one will like them now, but they'll get really popular in a couple years.
Maybe if they spend a few years over in Cormyr first, but...
I don't know. I definitely don't want to regale.
Please, we love regaling.
No, thank you.
It's
no
a
entertainment.
Feast. No, there's going to be a hunt afterwards.
A hunt for what?
There's a manticore. A manticore.
Wait,
haunts
this
gully.
What is that?
It's like a scorpion lion that flies.
Oh, man. You're going to hunt a manticore?
On the back of a hippogriff. It is an exciting life that we lead. You could join us.
Hey, how do you guys feel about magic? Not that I have any.
Whatever gets the job done. We're not like all of these inbred simpletons populating these hills. No, we're from Waterdeep, a city, a metropolis, a place full of all kinds of magical wonders. We understand that it's merely an art, not
a craft.
Well, no, it is a craft. It's, you know,
the craft.
No, it's the big craft. Craft with a capital
big
C.
C.
It's the big C.
The C word. the great C. Her fingers twitch a little bit with like purple magic, like wanting to come out.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple more questions. So, do you know anything about masked men down by the quarry?
Sounds to me like more of those monks.
But they're dressed different.
Well, I have my war uniform, as you can see here, my ceremonial standards, but I also have my relaxing clothes, and I have my clothes for worship. I do yoga.
Oh, yoga. Yoga was just getting big right as I was leaving.
Yeah, no, yoga, we brought it with us from water. We brought all manner of things. We can't recreate avocado toast as good as you can find it in the city.
Downward owlbear pose. Owlbear is clearly the only D&D animal I know. well, I think the rest are like...
or whatever ones we make up.
Right, which are way good. Okay, so I'm invited to this feast. I'm not speaking. I'm not publicly speaking at this feast. No thanks.
You're charismatic. People love it when you talk.
Sacred Stone Monastery. Yeah, Ren's gonna be there. I'm not gonna talk. who knows? I might Romeo Montague this thing and disguise self. Because I have the mask of many faces.
You do? You can look like whatever you want, except it's gonna be very confusing for all of the knights who have seen you and know what you look like.
Yeah, but I'll just not say I'm Myri. I'm just some other Gale, Feather Gale guy. All right, let's feast it up, man. Does this guy seem evil, too? Is that something I can check?
That's an insight check.
That one. Maybe don't tell me anything, because you might tip your hand one way or the other.
You're right.
So.
You look at him to see his motives when you catch the sun setting behind the hills, painting they gulch with this orange-reddish light. It's beautiful. You actually can see a glint of light coming off of a waterfall set high into the canyon walls, and pinks and purples falling on the hills, a long shadow cast from the hills down toward Red Larch. And actually, Red Larch kind of falls. It's already dark now there, but the sun is setting, and it's beautiful. And what were we thinking about? Yes, let's have food. It's been almost a whole 30 seconds since you've eaten.
No, it's been hours.
It's been hours.
Maybe one.
You got lost.
Those
vultures were looking kind of tasty. They were like flying around like rotisserie chickens with knights riding on the back of them.
Messed up.